So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text Number 34. Sacrifice performed by Daksha. Vishaya Uchu Nanditam Te Bhagavan Vicheskitam Yaratmana Charasihi Karmana Kyase Bhutai jata upashyador ishwarim Namanyati swayam manuvartatim bhavam. Rishaya, the sages, Uchuhu, pray, Anandavitam, wonderful, Te, your Bhagavan, O possessor of all opulences, Vicheshtitam, activities, yet which Atmanat, by your potencies, Charasi, you execute, he certainly, Parama, to such activities, Na Ajase, you are not attached. Vibhutaye, for her mercy. Jatha, from whom? Upashedhu, worshipped. Ishwarim, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Namanyate, are not attached. Swayam, yourself. Anuvartatim, to your obedient servant, Lakshmi, Bhavan, your lordship. Translation in purple, by his divine grace, I abhaya charanaravinda bhaktivedanta swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. The sage is prayed, dear Lord, your activities are most wonderful, and although you do everything by your different potencies, you are not at all attached to such activities. You are not even attached to the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by the great demigods like Brahma, who pray to achieve her mercy. Please repeat. The sages prayed, dear Lord, your activities are most wonderful, and although you do everything by your different potencies, you are not at all attached to such activities. You are not even attached to the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by the great demigods, like Brahma, who pray to achieve her mercy. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord has no desire to achieve any result from his wonderful activities, nor has he any need to perform them. But still, in order to give an example to people in general, he sometimes acts, and those activities are very wonderful. He is not attached to anything. Namam karmani limpanti. Although he acts very wonderfully, he is not at all attached to anything. He is self-sufficient. The example given here is that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is always engaged in the service of the Lord. But still he is not attached to her. Even great demigods like Brahma worship the goddess of fortune in order to win her favor. But although the Lord is worshipped by many hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, he is not at all attached to any one of them. This distinction concerning the exalted transcendental position of the Lord is specifically mentioned by the great sages. He is not like an ordinary living entity who is attached to the results of pious activities. So here the sages are offering their prayers to Lord Vishnu, who has appeared in the sacrificial arena. And here they're glorifying the Lord's opulence of renunciation. Lord is fallen six opulence, beauty, strength, fame, knowledge, wealth, and renunciation. So this is the definition of Bhagavan. They are calling him Bhagavan. It's difficult to be have these opulences in full like Krishna. Because if you have all wealth and all beauty, it's very difficult to remain renounced. But Krishna can have these things, which are desired by everyone, still simultaneously he can remain renounced. And the example is here that he has he's not even attached to the goddess of fortune, although he has the hundreds and thousands. Krishna married 16,108 goddesses of fortune. But he has always remained in a detached manner. Even his chief queen, Rukmini, she understood this. When Krishna was teasing her that time, but she came to realize that he's completely detached from me. He can leave me at any moment. And when that dawned on her, she just fainted, fell down like a banana tree. Because they're thinking, this Krishna is very much attached to me. But she realized at that time, no, he is that Supreme Person of Godhead, full of detachment, not attached. Or the other example Prabhupada gives is Krishna performing the rasa dance. Now here he has hundreds of millions. Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sahidya Manu. Hundreds of millions of Lakshmi's gopis. These are the most beautiful people in creation. And Krishna is famous as being attracted to beautiful women and performing pastimes with them. So he calls, plays his flute, and he calls hundreds of millions of gopis to come on that full moon night of Sarad. And then he is surrounded by them, but then he decides to leave. Prabhupada said, this is renunciation. No one can equal the renunciation of Krishna. Of course, these are rishis, they're speaking in tattva of Krishna, how his glory of renunciation. But in rasa, we see that Krishna actually is very much attached. He is very much attached to his wives, he's very much attached to Srimati Radharani especially, and all the gopis. And he's so much attached that he expresses his inability to repay their continued love for him. It's beyond my ability. Even if I give you lifetimes of the demigods, I cannot repay your continued. I'm indebted to you. This is Krishna saying. This is Bhagavan, the completely detached person. Now he's saying, I'm indebted to you. What can I do? I can never leave you. And I can't even repay you back for what you've given to me. Therefore, you have to be simply satisfied by your devotional service to me. Well, this is the ultimate satisfaction of a devotee. He just wants service to Krishna. He doesn't want anything else. That is his satisfaction. So Krishna's wise. I can't do anything. And so you just be satisfied by your own service to me. So Krishna actually enjoys these pastimes of being attached. More than he enjoys his pastimes being detached. There's another famous verse that the Vedas personify their all offering and beautiful prayers and describing his opulence and his detachment from everything and all of his wonderful opulences. But Krishna says, I prefer when my girlfriends rebuke me, when they chastise me, they go away, you don't touch me. They rebuke him. Krishna says, I prefer this and all, when all the personified Vedas around chanting all of my wonderful glories and the majesty. So rasa is Krishna's business. He is rasaraj. Tattva, Krishna doesn't deal so much with tattva. It's done by his different energies and potencies. But he himself, he's an enjoyer. This is God's business. His business is pleasure. So this rasa is the purpose of existence. Pleasure is the purpose of life. Everybody knows it, or at least everybody's seeking for it. They know it or not. Everybody's seeking for happiness. Whatever anybody does in this world is for happiness. Even they commit suicide. It's for some kind of happiness, some kind of relief, or something like that. So it's there in Krishna. So then he can sacrifice his aspect of godhood, of being Bhagavan, simply to enjoy with his devotees. And he becomes subordinate to his devotees. So you cannot say he's detached. Just like when the Cowherd men were talking about Krishna, maybe he's some big demigod, because, you know, he saved us from that fire, he saved us from that big poisonous snake. He said so many times, he lifted up Govardhan, he saved us. Maybe he's a big demigod, maybe he's empowered by Lord Narayan, maybe. Maybe he's a big demigod. So, the Nanda Maharaj says, what are you talking about, demigod? Saying Krishna's a big demigod or a big rishi? He said, he has no control over his senses at all. How he can be a rishi in his future life? Rishis have controlled their senses. He said, this Krishna is so greedy, he's just eating all the time. He's eating sweets all day long. He has no sense control whatsoever. If you don't give him sweets, he'll steal them. What kind of a respectable rishi would do that? And as soon as there's some thunder and lightning, he comes running in and he jumps in his mother's bed and he... Oh, I'm frightened, mother. What is this? What kind of a rishi or a renounced person is this? I don't think he's a rishi. But maybe Lord Narayan is protecting him. He always seems to be protected by Lord Narayan. And Gauga Muni said that actually, he will be protected. So, these are the wonderful characters of Krishna. Here, it's very, very official. It's a Jagannath. And all the demigods, all the official heads of the universe are there, and Lord Vishnu's appear with eight arms also, make it a bit more special. He's pulled out another four arms, because this is very, very official. And so everybody's offering these very beautiful prayers, in a great mood of reverence. And Lord Vishnu's accepting this in this form. So he is, Krishna's very expert according to time, place and circumstance. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So, this was Tatsa's dream come true. When Vishnu appeared there, this is our dream come true, because this is the purpose of the sacrifice. Vishnu has appeared. We got him. This is it. Then what? He's going to fulfill our benedictions. The reason they want Vishnu is to fulfill their desires. And they didn't change their mind when they even saw him, like Dhruva. At least Dhruva changed his mind when he saw the Lord. You know, he was looking for some material happiness. Now I've seen you. And they didn't even change their minds, even they saw this beautiful Vishnu form coming. Please help us execute this sacrifice nicely. They could have asked for anything. Please help us execute this sacrifice nicely, which is simply an activity in the mode of goodness to propagate the illusory material world. So Krishna's acting very officially. Okay, you're all pretty much illusion, but at least you're doing it according to the rules. You're following the rules of the Vedas. So I'll keep my part. I said I'll come if you do like this in the Vedas. So I'm playing my part. You're performing everything nicely. I'll also appear from the fire. And then you'll all be very happy, very satisfied. So he's satisfying everyone like this. Because they're materially motivated, they're not really seeing the... They could have asked for pure bhakti, they could have asked for anything, but Krishna was in front of them. But they didn't do it. So they kind of lost their intelligence. It's like Bhriga Muni, big sage, put in charge of performing the sacrifice. He performed, Vishnu appears before him also. Later on what happens? He goes and kicks Vishnu in the chest with his foot. Such a rascal. And he's a big sage. He saw Vishnu, everything is there, he's praising him now like anything. and later on he gets completely forgetful. They wanted to, their material goals become more prominent, and they're just using Vishnu for their material goals. So much so he forgets everything, goes up to and insults Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Vishnu. So, anyway, because they're doing things according to the rules, and Krishna's also appearing to them according to the rules. So Krishna's manifesting himself in so many ways according to the devotee's realization. Just like they're saying that you do everything by your different potencies. So you're doing everything by your potencies. So there's nothing in existence but Krishna's potencies. This is what we're dealing with 24 hours a day, Krishna's potencies. I'm Krishna's potency, you're Krishna's potency. There's an interaction going on. The sound is Krishna's potency. The building is Krishna's potency. Everything is... So there's nothing but Krishna's potency in existence. So you do everything by your potency. So you can actually see Krishna here now, in his potency, through his potencies. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that when you see that there's nothing in... nothing but the three modes of material nature in all activities, then you'll understand my transcendental nature. So wherever we look, we see, what are we seeing? We're nothing but the interaction of modes of material nature. That's all that's going on. The movements of the three modes of material nature. So the Krishna says, if you see that there's nothing happening except the three modes, but you know that I am beyond the material nature, then you can understand my transcendental nature. So even you can see Krishna, behind all the activities is Krishna. He's controlling it of the three modes of material nature. So when you see the activities of material activities are going on, we can understand these are displays of Krishna's energy and he's controlling the whole affair. So then Krishna says you won't become attached to the modes of material nature, you become aloof by understanding them properly, and then you can understand the transcendental nature. Krishna's transcendental nature. So that Krishna's transcendental nature. To understand Krishna, one has to be on that transcendental nature, because he's transcendental beyond everything. So when you're seeing the modes of material nature is working, behind that is Krishna. So if you tune into that by Krishna's grace, then you'll understand his nature. This is time, present. Krishna is present everywhere. If we understand how Krishna is present, that is Krishna's eternal nature, past and future, then they've been and gone, or coming. But the present is actually Krishna's nature. So that is eternal time. And the living entity is eternal, and Krishna is eternal. So by seeing that present moment, or being in that present moment, you can understand the transcendental nature. So therefore you can feel the presence of the Lord. By feeling the eternal nature is Krishna's presence. Kim tat brahma, kim tat atma, Krishna says, Arjuna says. Krishna says the living entity is Brahman, and his eternal nature is called the self. So you can contact the eternal nature as existing. The three modes of material nature are imposed over the eternal natures. So if you remove the nature, or you see the nature as different, you can understand the substance behind it, or what the modes are superimposed on is the eternal nature, Brahman. Krishna says, everything is resting in Brahman, and I'm the basis of the Brahman, Krishna says. So three modes of material nature are superimposed on Brahman. So if you see it in that philosophical light, then you may, with grace of Krishna, of course, you can actually understand the eternal nature beyond the three gunas. So that is your own nature by the grace of Krishna. And so this can be. So then you're seeing Krishna in his different energies. As you said, you do everything for your different potencies, but Krishna himself remains aloof. This, like the whole this chapter building up to this, has always been talking about Krishna's, how he's a dosacha. He's not perceivable by the material senses. Again and again, everybody's offering these prayers. You are beyond the material senses. you cannot be perceived by the material senses. So this aspect has been is being pointed out. Yeah, he's a dotsa. Anyway, he's a dotsa, and he's not perceivable by the material senses. But he does reveal himself according to one's surrender. So here, now, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, no, there's nothing connected with the modes of material nature. If you understand this, then you'll understand my eternal nature. So Krishna is giving you an idea here. So it's another way of looking at Krishna, right? How he reveals himself philosophically. If you understand it philosophically, Krishna will give that revelation. Because he said he would. Otherwise he's a liar. So he's not a liar. So he's saying, this is how you can perceive me. By seeing material nature working in the activities, and understanding that this is all that's going on here, and it's all going on under Krishna's direction, and he's not at all attached to it. He's aloof from it. Then you can become aloof from it. Then you can understand your nature, you can understand Krishna's nature, you'll understand the eternal nature of Brahman, which everything is resting on, and in which we are also. Also Prabhupada's pointing out the same thing in the purport. He's quoting the Prabhupada 4.14, Namam Karamani Limpanti. That Krishna's saying, I am, and what did he say? There's no activity that binds me. Although I'm engaged in all kinds of activities, I'm not bound like a living entity. So Arjuna says, well, you look like a Kshatriya to me, Krishna. You're dressed like a Kshatriya, you're acting like a Kshatriya. So you're just speaking about Chaturvanam Mayaspishvam. You've got to act according to your karma and guna and karma. I see you look like you're acting according to guna and karma. You're on the battlefield, you know. You're dressed up. So when you get karma, you're just saying that everybody acts according to his karma. You're acting like this, so when you get Kshatriya karma, you'll get Kshatriya karma from that. And Krishna says, no, because my mentality is not like that of a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya, he has some reason why he's on the battlefield. He wants a kingdom, he wants to kill his enemy. He has some goal to attain. Krishna says, I'm not here because of that. What do I want? I got everything. I don't need anything. I don't need to win a kingdom. I've got all the planets are in my possession. I don't need anything. And I'm not just fighting so I can be happy. I can have a happy time here without my enemies because I'm self-satisfied anyway. I'm at Marama. I'm not searching for happiness. I'm not searching for position. I'm not searching for any kind of prestige or opulence. But all the Kshatriyas here, they all have a purpose behind it. So therefore they're bound by it. That's why they're bound, because they're attached to getting the result. But Krishna says, I'm not attached, therefore I'm free. And if you know this secret about me, Arjuna, you'll also become free. I'm not working for myself, I'm actually working for others. See, Prabhupada, just to set a good example. That's why the only reason I'm working, to set a good example for others. So I'm not attached to the results of my work. But everyone else here, that's working for they're self-interested. They have some interest here in this battle. But I don't have any interest. I don't want anything. I'm self-set, but I'm here just to show people in general how they should act without attachment. So Krishna says, he's saying, I'm not here for myself, I'm here for others. Now if you know this truth about me, you'll also become as free as me. So this is actually Vaishnava teaching. A Vaishnava, he doesn't live for himself, he's living for others. This is ideal Vaishnava. He sacrificed his life just to spread the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's living for others. He's not concerned about his own happiness. He's not concerned about his own liberation in the material world. He's forgotten all that. He's just surrendered to Krishna. He's Krishna's servant. And he's just dedicated his life to executing the desire of Krishna. So this is Vaishnava. He only lives for others, like father, like son. And because he has that mentality, he's not doing anything for his own, he's doing everything for Krishna's. What does Krishna want? How I can, and Krishna wants, Krishna's greatest desire that all the living entities be liberated and come back to Godhead. Jiva Daya. This is the essential teaching of Lord Chaitanya, the essence of his mission, apart from his own personal desires. But this was the essence of his incarnation, jiva-daya, to be merciful to the living entities who are asleep in the lap of the witch called Maya. So, the devotees, they follow Krishna's example. You see, Srila Prabhupada, what's he doing? He's selflessly wandering around the grove at 70 years old. He's certainly not doing it for his health or anything like that. And he's not doing it for money, and he's not doing it for prestige. He's got temples all over the world. He's got so much vast fortune. These people are coming down and falling at his feet. They're offering him respect and worship. But he's not doing it for this. Coming automatically, but he's trying to satisfy Krishna's desire. So he's given up all of his own interests simply to execute the order of Krishna and Guru. So this is the ideal example how Prabhupada is. He gave up everything. He had a family life, everything like that, occupation, business. He gave all that up and he dedicated himself entirely to his spiritual master's instruction to push on this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada was showing by his own personal example. So a person like who had actually done that, he's taken complete refuge in Krishna, then he doesn't become attached also to the material world. Just like Krishna, he's not attached because he doesn't aspire for the fruits. The devotee who follows Krishna's instruction, he doesn't become attached because he's also not aspiring for the fruits. Therefore, he's as free as Krishna. So this is the secret of freedom Krishna's telling us. Now, if we do that, then again, Krishna's going to reveal himself in another way through his different potencies. You're acting. His potency was his instruction. This is the instruction he's given to Arjuna. You act like me, Arjuna. Be devoid of all sense of getting anything back from your activities. You act like me, and you'll be as free as me. That means you'll understand Krishna. You'll understand Krishna's transcendental nature. Freedom means freedom from the modes of material nature. It means the spiritual status. So if you follow these instructions of Krishna, it'll happen if you do it properly, because Krishna's promised you that. Otherwise, why is he bothered to speak if it doesn't work? So if we take this seriously, these words of Krishna, and we execute them, then he's going to manifest himself through that medium. So it's not although Krishna, no, he's only in Goloka, in the tree Bangi, Murlida, and you know, we've got to become 100% pure devotee, and then we can actually understand that. No, he's manifesting all the way through where from Vrindavan all the way through Vaikuntha worlds into the material. He's manifesting himself. You can realize him in so many ways. Through his different potencies. You are understood through your potencies. Brahmaniti, Bhagavaniti, Paramatmani, Bhagavaniti. So, most of these potencies, in the beginning, you'll understand Krishna's eternal nature. He said you can understand that easily, by analysis. If you understand his nature as Brahman, by being non-attached to the fruits of your work and working selflessly for others. So Krishna's always appearing in revealing himself in different ways. As you surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. So it's a fact. And if we're not getting any realization, we can understand we're not following Krishna's instructions properly. Only half following. So if we you take shelter of the Lord, take shelter of his instruction. This is Madana Mohan, this is Sambandha, this is why he's speaking Bhagavad Gita. Actually, he's Govinda, but Govinda is speaking Bhagavad Gita. He wants to engage Krishna in the fight. This is the Abhideya. He wants him to use his fight. But to approach him, first he's giving the instruction. To understand me, that is Sambandha. Madana Mohan. How you can understand him? Krishna's telling you how you can do it. How you can become aloof from this material nature. Krishna Das Thakura said, I'm lame and ill-advised. Lame, Prabhupada explains, you've got no legs. If you're lame, you can't use your legs. You don't know what your legs are, your spiritual legs are. So how you can walk? So therefore we're lame. If you don't know your spiritual identity, you're lame. You can't manifest your actual divinity. So you need spiritual legs. So Krishna's given all these instructions how you can become free from the modes of material nature. Then you'll understand you've got spiritual legs. And when you've got spiritual legs, you can walk on the spiritual ground. Then you can see what goes on in the spiritual world. Then you can see Krishna. And then you can serve Krishna. So Krishna is revealing. So just like when you're eating, you're engaged in eating, three things happen simultaneously. You feel happy. Nice taste. Your hunger goes automatically. And you become nourished. You become strong. With each bite, these things are revealing themselves more and more. Just by the act of eating, bite by bite, you're becoming more happy, more nourished, and happy. So similarly, one who takes shelter of Krishna, then these three things manifest. Devotion manifests. And simultaneous detachment. That's what Krishna's talking about. We're attached. He's talking about how Krishna's detached in this verse. Why is so much emphasis on detachment in the Bhagavad Gita and everywhere? Actually, all the systems of yoga use all detachment. Main emphasis is detachment. That comes automatically by the process of taking complete shelter of Krishna. So you become detached, not by making a separate endeavor to become detached, like the yogis and jnanis, they're doing so much austerity and etc. for detachment. No, simply by the process of serving Krishna, taking complete shelter of Krishna, serving Krishna, automatically detachment will come. In Krishna book, they had Nistigosi with Nanda Maharaj. So many demons are coming, trying to kill Krishna. So many disturbances. Better we leave this place. Nice place up there, by Govardhan Hill. Vrindavan is there. So Govardhan Hill is there. So many nice grasses are there. Feed our cows. It's very luxurious. Why don't we all go to that Vrindavan, that place by Govardhan? Nice place there. To see it, some dangerous things are happening to Krishna. The demons are coming all the time. So, shall we do it? Yeah, because it's dangerous here for Krishna. We want to protect Krishna. Yeah, let's go to Vrindavan. Let's go. Okay, load everything up. They put everything on their bullock carts, and they're gone. It means the entire village. Someone tells you to get at your house within 1 month. You may show a little bit of resistance. What to speak of the same day. But they weren't at all attached. Why? Because of their attachment for Krishna. They gave up their houses, everything. Just put everything they got in bullock cart. That means they left the house. They can't take the house on a bullock cart. But they just took their personal possessions. Why? Because they were so attached to Krishna. Yeah, and Krishna's in danger. We go, that's a nice place. Krishna can enjoy that. So simply by Krishna consciousness, automatically that detachment was there. That is a symptom of a detached person. He's attached to Krishna. And a symptom of knowledge, Prabhupada also says in Krishna book somewhere that they were very much attached to Krishna. This is the purpose of knowledge, to understanding, Krishna says. And because they were attached to Krishna, Prabhupada said, this was a symptom of their perfect knowledge. They weren't jnanis, but they were above jnanis. They had more perfect knowledge than jnanis, because they knew Krishna, and that's all they knew. So detachment and knowledge, it comes automatically in Krishna consciousness, by simply taking shelter of Krishna and serving Krishna, without any extra effort. This is the sublime nature of Krishna consciousness. And so again, Krishna will be revealed like this. He will reveal detachment to you. He will reveal attachment for Krishna. He will reveal knowledge simply by taking shelter of Krishna, and according to the acharyas. So simply by this process of taking shelter of Krishna, devotion manifests, because it is devotion. Taking shelter of Krishna is devotion. It means you're going to do everything for Krishna. That is devotion. That, and detachment from everything else. And what else? Direct perception of Krishna comes manifest. So here, we're talking about direct perception of Krishna. Krishna, you can see, Krishna's talking. How you can see me behind the modes of material nature by understanding properly. How you can understand that I'm acting as time. I'm the present. I'm present in the present. That is where Krishna is. So he's revealing himself in so many ways. You act without attachment. You act not for yourself. You act for others like me. Automatically, Krishna revealed detachment to you. So, this much you will understand Krishna. That much is friendly. So you get, Krishna is actually giving direct experience. In the beginning, it will be just Brahman understanding. You'll feel the presence of Krishna. So that's something very wonderful. Very wonderful. Although there is no separation from us and Krishna, actually we've forgotten Krishna. This avidya. Krishna has taken away that remembrance of him. But actually, we're eternally connected with Krishna. We cannot be without Krishna, but somehow or another, by our desire, still we cannot be. So Krishna gives us this avidya potency. He's covered us. So now we feel we've lost Krishna. Even we want to find him, we can't. So it appears so difficult because of these, our coverings, our attachment, our lack of knowledge, etc. Our lack of devotion. But Krishna is saying, I can all be revived. And then he will gradually reveal himself, step by step. So first he will reveal himself by direct experience. Brahmaniti, you'll understand the presence of Krishna everywhere. This is something very wonderful, because then you don't forget Krishna, because he's always present. And another very wonderful thing about this direct perception of Krishna is that you don't have to ask so many questions, philosophical questions, because you understand the purpose of, you've got that, you're feeling Krishna, you're feeling Krishna's presence. So some people start talking about, what about this, what about this, it's so, and different progressions, and going after Krishna. But if you have a feeling, you won't have to ask all these questions, because Krishna is, you can directly experience him. You can directly experience his presence. So just by knowledge, okay, direct experience with Krishna, and then different symptoms, and we can follow, but you may have so many questions that if you understood that direct perception, if you're actually perceiving the Lord, then you're completely satisfied with that. It's not that you have to it's like you're satisfied. You're in Krishna's presence, you're satisfied. It doesn't really worry about the future or progressions anymore. Right now you're satisfied with Krishna. You're getting a direct experience of Krishna. He's revealing that direct experience. So you're satisfied. Just as Krishna is self-satisfied, then you can experience yourself also, because that is the eternal nature. You also become self-satisfied. So when you're satisfied, you don't need to, you have no anxiety of worrying about what is Krishna, how I can get Krishna. You're feeling the presence of Krishna, you're with Krishna. So all those, so many other little things are automatically taken care of, regarding your spiritual advancement, so-called spiritual advancement through the process of knowledge and activities and renunciation and trying to figure everything out by yourself. When there is, when Krishna gives direct perception of himself, a direct experience, then you're completely satisfied. So anyway, so many ways Krishna will reveal himself, and he's given us all these ideas and these by his words. You can't see me, there's not only just one way you can understand Krishna. He's revealing himself in so many ways. The yogi, we were reading in the last chapters of Kapila Muni, the yogi perceives him as the Paramatma. He's completely in ecstasy. He's showing all symptoms of ecstasy. Premandana Turita Bhakti Vilo Janina Shantas. He's seeing Krishna with eyes of love. And that's only the Shanta platform. He's only on Shanta. So what to speak of the other devotional aspects and revelations in Bhagavan realization and the different relationships that the devotees. So this is Krishna's kindness. He's given all this, so much information there, but we have to accept with complete conviction that these words are absolute. Complete conviction with the words that the sadhu is absolute. When Prabhupada writes these books, we have to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that you, when you read these books or hear from the lips of a pure devotee, you should have the conviction, complete conviction, that the words that they are speaking are identical with the subject matter that they convey. So when they're actually speaking, if they're speaking in the glories of the Dhamma, those words in glorification, that will actually become manifest in your heart. You'll actually see that manifest in your heart, if you have that complete conviction in the words of the sadhu. Because they're speaking from the platform of truth. And if you have that much faith and conviction, you'll have that revelation in your heart. So this is actually how we're able to understand Krishna. Another aspect is, and this is the greatest aspect of revelation of Krishna, is through his devotee. This is how his most magnanimous revelation, actually, is through his devotee, because his devotee comes to us. Even if we don't go to Krishna, the devotees, they come to us on behalf of Krishna. And so like this, they're revealing the essence of the Vedas, because they understand the essence. See, the Vedas are mainly dealing with the three modes of material nature, so they're not able to give a proper picture of Goloka or the spiritual world or Krishna. But a person who's imbued with that divine potency, a bhakta, a devotee, then he can read the Vedas, then he can give you the import of the Vedas. He can pick out that bhakti aspect that is given in the Vedas, and he can impart that to you. Otherwise we can't understand. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also says that one who thinks that he can understand that the Vedas should be read and understood through the lexicographical symbols of the Sanskrit language, he can only be understood through Sanskrit, Devanagari. You approach the deity, you speak to the deity in Devanagari, Sanskrit, that is the rule. You should always speak to the deity. So you can only approach the deity through Devanagari. There's another class of people who say you can approach Krishna in any language. Prabhupada told me you can say your prayers to Krishna in English. Well, that's your language, so you can offer the prayers. But he said, you know, one who says you can approach Krishna only through Sanskrit, and the other one says you can approach Krishna through any language, they're both in illusion. He said the only way to approach is is when a devotee who is on that platform of transcendence, on that platform of pure devotion, he reads the Vedas, and he draws out that from the Vedas, and he gives it to the disciple. He said that the Vedas were never intended to be read by ordinary people. They weren't written for that purpose. They were written for the acharyas. They were written for the pure devotees, that's all. The pure devotees will read the Vedas. They'll cipher out the essence of devotion. They can give. And it's not for common people to read and interpret. Unfortunately, it's going on so much. But the thing is, it doesn't work. You've read so many books. I hope you haven't. But probably you did. Read so many books before you came to Krishna consciousness. Some kind of spiritual, you don't get anything from it. But as soon as you read Prabhupada's book, Krishna jumps out the pages. Immediately. So this is because the bhakti is there. He can pick up the essence of the Vedas. Very difficult. But by bhakti, yes. By a bhakta, he can understand. Then the bhakta can explain to you. So if we have that much sincerity and faith and conviction in the bhakta's words from here, then we can get that revelation of Krishna. He can give you Krishna. The most merciful aspect of Krishna through his devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Prabhupada ki. Jai. Samaveda bhakta vinindi. Itai go premanandi. Any comments? Question?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have a question, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. You were speaking about gopis and anything else also. My question is that the gopis in the Krishna book, they say one who is intelligent and also...
Say what?
One who is very intelligent. The gopis... They say one who is intelligent and also is very...
I can't hear that. Last sentence?
The gopis say that one who is intelligent and also bothered about one's self-interest, they repose all their loving sentiments towards Lord Krishna. So So I do not understand the term self-interest. Would you please explain? I do not understand the term self-interest.
Oh, I see. Yes, one who is intelligent reposes all of his loving propensity in Krishna for his own interest. So as an intelligent person should understand, what is my best interest? He should understand that. And his best interest is devotion to Krishna. His best interest is that he revives his relationship with Krishna. That's your best interest. This is the ultimate goal of life. To love God, to enter into a loving relationship with God. That's the best interest of everyone, because it's the best interest of God. So they're saying to Krishna, your best interest, if you really know your best interest, you're going to have a rasa dance with us. Don't try to neglect us. Any sensible man who knows his best interest. Of course, this is all on the transcendental platform. So they were acting as Krishna's lovers. They were using that simile, the best interest of a man in beautiful woman. It's definitely not to send them away. So they're using that example. Your best interest, Krishna, is yes, if you dance with us, because this is what you want. This is going to bring you pleasure. We are pleasure potency. This is what we're here for. Although it looks like we're here for our own pleasure, actually we're here for your pleasure, Krishna. So your best interest, we begin the dance. You'll be happy.
Thank
you. Hare Krishna. I don't want to ask a question, I just want to feel Krishna.
You want to feel Krishna?
So her question is how?
Well, how to feel Krishna? No, the answer was there, well, like we just said. The answer is by just taking complete shelter of Krishna and service to Krishna. Then he said that direct perception will come automatically. Detachment will come automatically. Devotion will come. And direct perception, it will come automatically through the process. Otherwise you take another process where you're concentrating on your own purification. To enter fire, you have to become fire. To understand the pure, you have to become pure. So you see, you understand yourself, then you can understand the Supreme Self. You see, Krishna says, you see the Self by the light of the Self. So you've got to become, adopt a means of self-realization. When you understand yourself, then you're going to understand Krishna's nature, because you're understanding your own nature. As Brahman and as eternal, you will understand your, that is Krishna's nature. So you understand your oneness with Krishna, your qualitative oneness. So whatever it takes to do that, you do it. So some people are doing it through jnana, some people are doing it through yoga, some people are doing it through karma. Whatever works for you, take it. But we recommend it simply by the process of taking complete shelter of Krishna and serving Krishna with great faith. Automatically, devotion, detachment, and that Krishna will manifest His presence. He will give you direct perception. If love of God has, because this is the stage of love, the beginning of love, when you're feeling His presence. God is love, is a famous saying. But it's a perceivable fact. When you understand, when you feel the presence of Krishna, you understand He is love. Until you feel the presence, you can't really understand. You can just talk about it. God is love, but it doesn't mean anything. When you perceive it, you feel that love. And you can understand, yes, God is love. So Rupa Goswami says, if you see love of God is available in the marketplace, buy it at any price, whatever it takes. We have a letter here from Tarini Radha Devidasi from Chennai. Krishna teaches us detachment from matter and attachment to devotees. But in this temporary world, we face the dangers of losing association of devotees dear to us. How to manage attachment and detachment from devotees, now to avoid too much misery when there is loss. In the material world, people are born and people die, so that's going to happen. We're going to lose the ones that we love in this material world. That is guaranteed. Just like when Arjuna was lamenting on the battlefield, or after the battle had taken place, he was lamenting for all the dead people. He was attached to his family members. And Prabhupada said this is quite natural. Although he's teaching detachment, as long as the body is there, there will be some detachment. It's quite natural, he said, for Arjuna to be crying. Even though he's an associate of the Lord, and the Lord is saying, you know, should we become completely detached from everything. He said it's quite natural, but in the association of devotees, of course, you know that the devotees are eternal. They've gone to a better situation. obviously, we Narottam says it's annoying, and I'll enter into fire, I'll beat my head against the rocks, and because of the my association is finished. So that is also a spiritual emotion, because we're here, we're dealing with devotees. That attachment is because of Krishna. The bondages of friendship and attachment is due to Krishna. And in our service to Krishna, we become very much attached to each other in service to Krishna. So this is an eternal aspect. In the spiritual world, everybody's serving Krishna in loving friendship. They're attached to each other on the basis of serving Krishna. Of course, there's no death there. Nobody disappears. But here, because we're dealing with devotees, it's actually a transcendental affair. And one should lament, actually, if we lose devotee. So it's not that we want to become detached from devotees. And how to avoid the misery when there is loss? You cannot avoid it. You have to tolerate it, that's all. Krishna said there's no easy way out. You just have to tolerate this. So, you see in the lives of many of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they just had to tolerate. They were just living in a state of disaster. Mahaprabhu was left, that was it. They just became like, everywhere in Nambudweep, every time they saw her, Mahaprabhu's cat used to take his bath. And it was so much painful. There's Nimai's house, Satyamata was there. Everything they saw, they all left. Everybody just wandered off, went to different places. Couldn't stand the pain of separation. Practically, they weren't doing anything. They were just existing in separation from Krishna. So it's going to be there. Vasu Ghosh, as soon as he heard Mahaprabhu would finish his pastimes, he dug a hole in the ground and just sat in the ground. He said, that's it. I'm waiting for it's not worth me existing in it. Mahaprabhu, come to the hall. What are you doing down there? Come up. You have service to do. Put him out the hall. There's a deity there. Tumluk. In our district, I think. Mahaprabhu is like this. He's pulling him. He dug his own samadhi. So he pulled him out the hole there. But anyway, we see this. They just did spend their life in separation. Prohibition, prayer, and Satyadevi. That's it. You've got to tolerate. You can't do anything else. But it's a spiritual emotion. So it's very, very purifying in relation. Anything in relation to those things. Thank you very much. Tarini Radha Devida. Well, a lot here depends on sincerity, one's own sincerity, the speed by which we attain spiritual realization. It comes with sincerity. The more sincere we are, the quicker it will come. And the word I'm looking for, I can't remember the word I'm looking for. The Prabhupada says, something like seeing the urgency of Krishna consciousness. You understand the urgency of it, you know, how we are actually bound up. And how imperative we can get out. Krishna is here present right now. We've lost contact with him. How imperative it is. See the urgency of Krishna consciousness. So we always, understanding that urgency for one's own self and the process to foster that and nourish that understanding of the urgency of Krishna consciousness is simultaneously to preach to others the urgency of Krishna consciousness. And that will always remind you of the actual urgency of Krishna consciousness, how imperative it actually is. I can't remember the word. Pila Muni's chapter, he's saying that, Prabhupada mentions in one purple. Anyway, similar to understanding the urgency. It's like a dedication to the mission, the cause. Anyway, like that. If we can dedicate ourselves, understanding the urgency, charity begins at home, so understand your own precarious position in the material world. And the actual best way to get out of this condition is by giving the message to others. But then you become very dear to Krishna. Then Krishna is inclined to reveal. So, this is the how Krishna consciousness is such a beneficial thing. Because not only we ourselves get all this information, we can purify our own existence, etc., understand Krishna, but also we're giving to others. And that giving to others is actually, we get more realization from Krishna by giving to others than trying to understand ourselves, trying to purify our own existence. Because Krishna is more pleased when you give to others than yourselves.